15 to 20 million.
Jump out there.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM. Serving southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And as more and more people are doing, they are able to tune in live by going to the front page of our internet site. Go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And as you know, we've been working more and more to get our people to become part of our Facebook, where you can listen on Facebook and go to the front page of on the internet and the other areas and ways that people are now tuning in. We have people all over the USA, especially the East Coast, that let us know that they tune in and they like our message, like our panel members, and of course, would like to see more of this going on in the national media, not just a few broadcasters like us in the system doing what we can to promote American made. I just would like to also ask that you contact family and friends and invite them to tune in. Remember, they can tune in on 860 if they live in the Philadelphia tri-state area, or they can go on the internet to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. In fact, I'd like to invite people to email me where they're listening from so I can get a good idea as to what's going on. Just go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com or hit Michael at AmericanWorkersRadio.com and I will receive it. Well, as you know, our theme since 1999, that sounds like it was a long time ago, but when you look at the whole story, it's really not that bad. It's been buy American-made products and support American workers. I would like to thank our panel members who are with us. Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, who will not be with us today. Larkin Conley, national small business advocate. Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. And of course, I have greetings from Curtis Ellis. And our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we have to look out for one another. That's really the biggest thing that we can do for one another. Look out for family, for friends, for our children and our grandchildren, and hopefully we'll see their families and their friends and their grandchildren in the future. It's just a look at how we're doing things to help one another. It's without question that the coronavirus pandemic has really changed so many things in our daily lives. We're now wearing masks. We see each other with virtual meetings. It became necessary to do that because we want to stay connected to families. Boys and girls in schools have difficulties being in class. Everybody's trying to work on that to get everybody together. We have learned about the crucial importance of taking precautions and being more accountable for our actions, more accountable for our actions. Well, today, I think I'm going to ask our two panel members, Rich Logis and Larkin Conley, to take on a new spirit, a new personage. We're going to urge them to talk about what they would do if they were elected members of the United States Senate. We're going to even call them Senator Rich and Senator Larkin, because I want to hear what they would have to say. The point of all this is that we have to really urge one another to do everything to be safe and also look out for the long-term well-being of our family, friends, and neighbors. This is not a political issue. This has nothing to do with race, color, or creed. We're all Americans. We should be speaking to one another as Americans. We all salute the same flag. If we have other flags that we salute, that's to honor our heritage. But the flag we salute in America is the American flag, and that's done by every person of every race, color, and creed. When I hear more and more of this going on in the news media, I really don't care for it because it's dividing one group against another. That's my point of view. Now, I'm also going to be doing everything possible to help our fellow Americans be employed as we rebuild our economy. Isn't that what this is all about? Why are the big media stations not doing this? Why are the television stations telling us all the negativity that we are, you know, supposed to be so interested in? I listen for 5 minutes, and quite honestly, I have to turn it off because it's the same regurgitation of the rigmarole that I've heard three times the past week. And every news station I tune into somehow or other reflects on that. We are a different animal. We're telling people, let's get that 50-50 balance back. Let's get people to be honoring America. Let's see more labels. When I go out shopping, let me tell you, most of the people in the stores that I go to already know that this guy, they don't know me by name, but this guy's going to ask for American made, compliment American made if I can find it at the cash register, complain about it if I can't find it at the cash register. I do my thing to rile the people up, but I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm trying to make things come to light. The more people talk about what's happening in this country that we control, we're the taxpayers. The people in Washington have been disappointing us for so long. And that's why today I would like to do something different. Let's ask Larkin and let's ask Rich what they would do if they were elected officials, not looking to discuss Democrats, Republicans, independents. But what would we do for the well-being of the American businesses and the American workers as we are watching them go through hell during this coronavirus? And it's really a sad situation, but it's a fact. Today, I'd like to ask Senator Larkin to give us his views, and I'm going to give my views, and I'm going to ask Senator Rich also. And if Henry wants to be a senator, he can speak up too. Senator Larkin, what would you do? They're discussing this bill in Washington, this new COVID-19. What would you do to advise them to focus mainly on American workers? Senator Larkin.
Hey, Michael, good morning. I know that Mark isn't here. I don't know if he's going to be here. Rich, good morning. Henry, good morning. And to our listeners, a special good morning. All I can say to you in retrospect is that if I did get elected a U.S. senator, it would be a more amazing outcome than Trump over Hillary. Because unfortunately, I have this really, really bad problem, and that is I can't find a filter big enough for my mouth. I can't sugarcoat anything. I can't take political bets. It is what it is. If I were elected Senate, Michael, the very, very first thing that I would do under the circumstances is cast a deciding vote not to allow that $1.9 trillion bill anywhere near the American people. It is a farce. And I got to tell you, I promised to give the president 100 days to get his stuff together and to get everything lined up, and then we'd talk about policy and procedure and the way and how he wants to do things. But I'm going to tell you, between the XL pipeline, and allow me to put this in the vernacular one more time, the XL pipeline is not going to bring us electric cars any faster.
Overnight, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to speed it up. We're going to have electric cars. All of the major automobile manufacturers have either talked about it or actually announced plans of how they're going to handle this. And it would just what it's going to do, though, is it's going to allow us to buy our unrefined product, our crude oil from Russia, from, I can't even imagine, but they're not Saudi Arabia. They're just...
They're waiting.
They're just sitting there waiting. You know, they rode out the Trump administration without a lot of money in the till. And now Biden has come back and said, oh, come on, you four guys. I'll take care of you. I'm going to fix this so that you can pay $5, $6 a gallon for gasoline between now and when the electric car comes. And by the way, you know, we've got to go through a hybrid posture also as we continue to manufacture cars that consume gasoline, but just not at the, you know, they get 50 to 60 miles a gallon. We're not going to all electric cars until the plug-in stations and battery exchange programs and new service stations with battery exchange programs, until all of that comes to fruition, we're not going to be all electric. We're going to need gasoline until at least 2030, and we're going to be buying it at a very, very premium price from some people that we really don't want to have the American dollar bill. So I would do something to reverse the XL pipeline decision and put us back in the driver's seat. And I would vote down the $1.9 trillion. Let's help out a couple of libraries. Let's put $440 billion into blue cities who have found themselves stuck in a quagmire of economy closures. It's just, come on, folks. Are you really going to bail out New York City and Philadelphia and Chicago and Los Angeles? These cities that virtually shut down have a worse COVID record than any other city. Instead of following the example of Florida, where people died, there's no question. You weren't going to avoid that. But we're not in economic devastation in the state of Florida right now. As a matter of fact, the third thing that I would do is I would build an enormous fence between Florida, Alabama, and Georgia. And I wouldn't let any more of these blue city people to come down here who would ultimately try to turn Orlando into New York City. We don't want that. We don't want it. We don't need them. Stay away. Maybe we'll even put a canal up there and secede from the Union. I don't know.
Well, you know, Larkin, Senator, I understand that a lot of people from New York in the last 6-8 months have taken everything out and come moved down to Florida. Is that true?
Oh, there's no question. We have an influx of people second to none. We have 4,800 homes with the ground broken on the foundation. 4,800. And that's just true. That number's soon to be 6,800 by the time all of these permits are issued in St. John's County alone. And do you know what our inventory of houses for sale is? 245 homes available for sale. They're not going to have any trouble finding Yankees to come down here. And I was one. Yankees to come down here and buy these homes and settle in and say, okay, they don't have a sales tax in this state. Let's pass a sales tax and redistribute the economy and redistribute the wealth so that these guñones that don't know how to work a single day in their life who are moving to Florida can turn Orlando into New York City. We just don't want it. We really don't, and it's a very, very serious problem because we are a purple state. We really are, which I love. I think that's great. We're as blue as we are red at times. But if this mass exodus out of New York and Pennsylvania and New Jersey continues, they're coming to Florida. They just are, and we need to stop it. We need to tell them that North Carolina and South Carolina are wonderful, wonderful opportunities. Northern Georgia, beautiful part of the country.
Larkin, I've been hearing this. People who have had timeshares and all down in Orlando and these places are saying, well, we're hightailing it to Florida. And We don't have to worry about all these unbelievable energy bills and all this nonsense. We're just not going to, we can't take it anymore. Larkin, Senator, just for your information, in the last 30 days, gas in Philadelphia went up 50 cents a gallon.
No, Michael, you haven't scratched the surface.
Right.
I sold gasoline for 35 years. 35 years from the wellhead all the way through the pump into your gas tank. I'm here to tell you that if you don't think you're going to have $5 and $6 gasoline, and what that's going to affect is the car wash business, that'll kill it. That'll affect the convenience food store business. Anytime they have to reach into their pocket and pay for gasoline, and somebody asks them to reach a little different to sell something that they're selling ancillary to the gasoline, they're going to say, are you kidding me? It's costing me $48 to get off of your property. I'm not buying anything else from you. Buy. And we virtually, I mean, it's, I'm really, really surprised at Joe Biden. I really, as you know, and anybody can go back to our prior programs and listen, I really was up for Joe Biden. I just thought, here's a guy that can really, you know, really bring the cart out of the ditch, can get everybody singing the same song, get everybody happy. And if you talk to the Republicans, no. He doesn't even hold press conferences. He don't want to stand up in front of this country and explain the XL pipeline because he doesn't have the gunions to do it.
I agree with that 100%. And I will tell you this. I understand that there are a few senators trying to get that reversed. Not many, but a few. And if that would happen, that would be good, because I'd rather see it put back in place in a short period of time than have it struggle for the next 3-4 months. You know, I'd rather see it say, well, until there is a major study, until there are places where we can have our cars filled up for this special energy, the electronic energy, the whole deal, we have to go back to doing what we were doing that was successful, that kept our gas in this country low. Larkin, I just want to say this. Nothing is explained to the people. In other words, so much is going for school, so much is going for this, and for the American workers, to help the restaurants, to help the organizations, the nonprofits, the businesses that had to close down, were forced to close down. That's a very meager part of this $1.9 trillion bill. I think it should be totally, totally, totally outlined, and let's get the people talking on one sheet of music.
It eventually will be, Michael, but let me say this, and you can take this to the bank because this came from CBO. You take this absolute figure to the bank. Over 50% of the money expended in the $1.9 trillion COVID virus pandemic relief program, less than 50% is going to COVID-related items. Less than.
Well, you know what, Larkin, that only reminds everybody that if they can't get it individually in legislation, they have to put it into this one big package one big grouping of requests. It doesn't make sense. Some of those requests maybe should not be considered. And to put it within one big bill, it's really an insult to the taxpayer. Because
they don't care about that.
Well, I know, but see, this is where the American taxpayer, all of us, have to start contacting our elected officials, because I don't think they've done very good by us, because I've been watching the census figures over the last 40 years. As the census are continuing to come up, it's not a Democrat thing. It's not a Republican thing. A president and the people in the House and the Senate are one part of the situation. You have all the states where they have to do things to help the people and do stuff like that. No, it's got to be where we start speaking up and asking pointed questions. Exactly what is this for? And I don't think a penny of any of that, any dollar they authorize, should be given to foreign countries unless the American people go to the ballot box and say, yes, we agree with giving these countries this money. We've just been, and by the way, I tried to find out many times exactly how the proposal came for that particular request of money. Billions of dollars, and there's no real written request. Someone called on the phone and said, you know, we really need this for this or that. And the next thing you know, it's in a bill. It's tied on to something, you know, build roads or something. And next thing you know, it's for something going to a foreign country. This doesn't make sense. We have our own foreign countries to take care of in every state of the union. We have our own roads to fix, our own schools to be modernized. We have to get people off of poverty. Can a country like America have 10% of its people, over 30 million people in poverty, and nobody's saying a word? Oh, well, it's sometimes it works like that. No, sometimes it should never work like that. It only happens when we have no people being realistic about getting our people back to a job. Sometimes I ask people, they say, well, you know, Michael, everything is turning to socialism in America. I said, well, maybe for some, but not for most. Socialism is very restrictive. Where you have your regular economy is, you know, you make your own life. You make your own success. I see what you mean. I said, those people who unfortunately are caught involved in the human service programs, the welfare and other types of programs, they just have to try to work themselves out of it. But before I go to Senator Rich, those people are not able to work themselves out of being on poverty or being on welfare, mainly because there's no job to train them for or to send them to every day. And that's where the problem is. Let's turn for a little bit of a good intake. Rich, you heard what we're talking about. You know what we're saying about the $1.9 trillion bill up for grabs and being discussed, and everybody's trying to hide it under the rug and not to say what's in the bill. I myself want to see every line. Tell us, Senator Rich, what you would do if you were involved making this bill go through.
Well, Michael, good morning, and Larkin, and to our audio engineer, everyone out there. Larkin, me and Larkin didn't collude this morning, but Larkin, you perhaps unwittingly could not have better set me up for what I'm about to do as senator. Here's what I would do as senator, Michael. I would hold a press conference where I would apologize to all of my constituents, volunteers, staffers, and donors who worked on my campaign. And here's why, Larkin. Because at that press conference, I would announce my resignation, to tell everyone that I will be better suited and I will better serve you to work on statewide initiatives to ensure that we don't become New York, California, Illinois, New Jersey, Colorado, Nevada, Arizona, and Georgia. And I would resign, Michael. And the reason also I would resign is because we need someone in those seats, Larkin. And I trust Governor Ron DeSantis to appoint two senators who would be very like-minded as I. That's what I would do, Michael. That's probably not the answer you were expecting. I understand.
Very interesting
but
answer.
But that's the honest answer. The honest answer is I would resign. I would resign so I could focus on ensuring that the state of Florida does not become New York, California, Illinois, New Jersey, Colorado, Nevada, Georgia, and Arizona. Fact. Numbers from 2000 to 2019. We don't have the 20 numbers yet, Larkin, but I'm sure they're not all that different from what I'm about to say. For almost two decades, the top net migration states, in other words, outbound minus inbound, the net number, the number one state over two decades, Larkin, was Florida. Number two was Texas. Number three was Arizona. Number four was North Carolina. Number five was Georgia. Number six was South Carolina. And number seven was Nevada. Now, Nevada, Larkin, used to be a red state. Guess who runs the state legislature now? Yeah. And now, Larkin, what do Florida, Texas, Arizona, North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina all have in common?
Let's hear it.
What do they all have in common? What do they all have in common? We know the answer.
Better leadership.
You see, Michael, all I need to know, who's in charge, who's the majority in the decision-making body. Now let's look at the states that are net negative. Number one, New York. Number two, California. Number three, Illinois. Number four, New Jersey. Then we get a little bit of a mix after that. Michigan, Ohio, Massachusetts, Louisiana, Pennsylvania, and Connecticut. 2000 to 2019, unofficial 2020 numbers, according to the census. Michael, what do New York, California, Illinois, New Jersey have in common?
Mm-hmm.
What do they have in common in their state legislatures and governors?
They are governed by one party.
Correct.
Interesting.
So, you could look at this one of two ways. You can look at it as a child and say that it must be a bunch of white supremacists who caused New York to have the number one negative net migration. Or you could look at it like an adult. And as an adult, you could look at it, Larkin, and say, you know, if it just happened once, maybe even twice, that could just be coincidental. But when it happens over and over and over and over again, is it coincidence? I don't think so, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. So where are all of those New Yorkers and Illinoisans and Californians and New Jerseyans, where are they all going, Michael? To Florida, to Texas, to Arizona, to Georgia. That's where they're going. Now, how do you think they're going to vote, Michael, when they arrive? Larkin, do we think a New Yorker who lived in Brooklyn who would vote for Jeffrey Dahmer if he had a D after his name is going to move to Florida and say, wow, your state's been run red majority for 25 years, Michael, for 2-5 has been the time of red majority in Florida. Wow, you guys for 25 years have had this majority. You're doing pretty good. I think I'll just go ahead and vote that way and seek and keep improving, keep working, because obviously I'm here and not where I came from. You think they're going to vote that way, Michael?
Hmm.
You think they will?
I see the point.
No,
that's a good point.
That's not what malignants do. Malignants seek out healthy cells. They seek out fertile fields to suck the marrow from them, to turn them into wasteland, just like they've done in our inner cities and they've done in these states. Well, guess what, Michael? After my resignation and after my apology, you know what I tell all my constituents in Florida? I'm not going to let it happen.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
let this state become New York and California. We're going to save this state, and I'm not going to let it happen.
But, Rich, I would want you to be in the state, representing the state in the Senate. I would want you to be, because I would ask you
I would ask you one question,
Senator. Could you please, when you go to Washington, help us to get back the 70,000 businesses that left America and relocated all around the world? That didn't happen overnight. It happened over 35 years, quietly. If you were in the Senate, I'm sure you would have spoken up. If I was in the Senate, you know exactly where I'd be. It's hard to buy me off. And this here is something I do not understand, why all these caucuses and all just allowed it to happen. It didn't happen overnight, and now tens of millions of jobs are no longer there for American workers. And now we have 30 million people living in poverty. And by the way, guys and girls, people in other countries are less in poverty because they are, you know, going to, they have some jobs, some way for them to earn money. In our situation, our people could earn money. They have the background to do the job. But if the job is not there, if you look out in the morning and the sun is not shining, it's raining, it's not going to shine through the rain. If you have no job, that person can't go to a job and earn his daily keep and maybe support his family properly and things like that. This is why we need new people in the House and the Senate. When I looked at some of those hearings, I said to myself, these people should not be here. They do not know how to speak up. They were walking around both sides. That's why I'm really not a one-sided person. Both sides did the same thing. They walked around. They waited for the vote. They already knew how they were going to vote. It was just days and weeks wasted. There was no influence that I could
give. Michael, you're pointing out, though, your points are valid, okay? And your questions to me as a senator are valid questions. But my apology must be accompanied by a reason, okay, which I hope to be a compelling reason. I believe that the Congress and D.C. are gone. I right now in their current form, they are irreparable. The way to salvage this car, this vehicle, the way to salvage it all has to come from the states. It must. And I'm not sitting here saying let's secede. This is not a call for secession. That's not what I'm saying here. What I am saying is that the only pathway to make our Congress from irreparable to, let's say, Larkin, semi-functional, okay, one step at a time, semi-functional, is it must come from the states. It has to come from the states. That is why, Michael, your questions, your points are valid. What I am saying is that I believe I can have more influence potentially on the outcome working statewide than I can in the Congress as a senator, where I'm one of 100 and in reality, I am in the minority side of the Senate.
You know what? I have to tell you this, Rich, you're going to like this. Sometimes when senators are contacted to come on radio programs and do things where they have to express their actual point of views, they give the host 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, I can do your interview, and then I have to get off the radio so I can go to another interview. I want to tell you frankly, majority of that is bull. They have got it to a point where they know that in 5 minutes they can really not commit to anything unbelievable. They just dance around. I wouldn't even want some of these people around for an interview. I really wouldn't, because nobody wants to, oh, I have another meeting. Blah, blah, blah. This is all crap. I could call that person in 20 minutes and they could talk with me for 1 hour. They don't want to put themselves on a side of commitment. And that's why the 70,000 jobs left America. The American people should have spoken up more, but they didn't. They just continue to say, well, that's the way globalism is. We have to give everybody a chance.
Michael, your governor, I was just reading over the weekend, is talking again about locking you down. Again. And as Larkin pointed out, does Florida have some magic immunity to COVID? At Pennsylvania? There are cities. Now, in Florida, Michael, we have our mini versions of Philadelphia. We're not quite as murderous as you guys up in Philly are. You guys really stepped up to the plate last year, broke your own record for murders. So my compliments. looks like you're on pace to break it again this year. So don't let me stop you.
But Rich, the story is the people, when they are dissatisfied.
Your governor's talking about it. But Michael, your governor is talking about it again. So I want to know how. My question for Pennsylvanians all across the state is, let me preface by saying this is not some blanket endorsement of everything that the GOP or the Florida or Pennsylvania GOP would do. But my question is, how do you have a red legislature and you have wolves? And overall, Michael, Pennsylvania is not a state that people are, granted, you're not a heavy destination state, but you're also not a heavy exodus state. Outbound migration. As I read off those numbers, you didn't have that many really from 2000 to 2019. You were pretty stable. Mm-hmm. So, are Pennsylvanians sitting there saying, "Man, you know, I don't want to go into lockdown again." And it's like I met a bunch of New Yorkers, like-minded New Yorkers, this past weekend, Michael, and we got to talking. They live in New York City, and they asked me. They said, "Rich, how can we reverse this, what's going on in New York and New York City?" And do you want to know what I said to them, Michael?
What's that?
Me, that bastion of cheerful optimism. You know what I told them? I said, there is no reversing it. Your guys, your state and your city are gone. Your chance to reverse it. I'm sorry, Mark, that applies to you too. I am. Curtis, I am. Their chance to reverse it, Michael, was two decades ago. That ship has long sailed. You see, once the malignancy metastasizes enough, it cannot be reversed. And that's why I say, and just as a side note, Michael, I'm not ready to really officially announce it yet. I am starting a PAC in Florida called SOSS, Save Our Sunshine State. Because here's why.
I love that. What's that again?
No. SOSS. Save Our Sunshine State. Here's why, Michael. The people you talk to, they're talking about socialism. Michael, no one knows what that means.
No one. Tell us.
No
Rich,
one knows what.
Give me your version of socialism. No, I know what
Michael,
it is.
Every socialist in history was a first world ultra capitalist. Okay? No one knows what socialism and communism means. A guy living in the middle of coal mining country in Pennsylvania. If you mention the name Vladimir Lenin, he'll turn around and say, "Was that the band Ringo was the drummer in?" He doesn't know anything about socialism or communism. A guy living in the middle of a sugar farm in Florida, he don't know what socialism is. But you know what that guy living in the Florida sugar farm does know, Michael? He knows that he doesn't want to be New York and California. And I suspect that Pennsylvania and coal mining country don't want to be New York and California either. You see, this is what I'm highlighting when it comes to the Republican Party messaging. We stuck at it. We don't talk to people eye to eye. We don't understand there are four main groups, senior citizens, entrepreneurs, working families, and young people just starting out. If you talk to me about anything that doesn't apply, I can't tell you how many events I go to with politicians. I listen to them talk and I say, I'm a South Florida idiot with an internet connection. I'm a married, small business owning father of two small children. If I don't hear you talk to me, I'm out, Michael. If our audio engineer, who, right, is a dad and a business owner and a worker, Larkin, who's a senior, a retiree, Mark, business owner, if we're sitting here saying, these guys, what are they talking about? They don't say anything that talks to me. So our stupid people go around talking about all these isms. You can't motivate people, Michael, on isms and ideologies that no one knows what they're talking about. But you know what that guy in coal mining Pennsylvania does know? He knows he doesn't want the state economy shut down. And where do state and city economies get most shut down? When it's run by the same party. None of it is a coincidence, Michael, because there are no coincidences in politics.
I cannot disagree with you, Rich. And this is the problem. But here is my whole argument with this. 70,000 businesses left America, and the American people did not speak up. The people in Washington
but remember, Michael,
said...
But remember, though, 70,000, but they came out of individual states.
Yes, so that's right.
People got to ask themselves, why were they flipped? Why is it that Philly has had that exodus out, right? And why, of course, are companies coming to Florida? My problem isn't that we're bringing business here. My problem isn't that people want to be a part of the overall strength of Florida. My problem is that they want to come here and vote for an Andrew Cuomo or a Newsom or a Wolf or a Murphy or a Pritzker or a Whitmer. That's the problem. The problem is they will vote the same way here. They created policies. Remember, policies are created by people, Michael. So they create they vote for these people, these malignants, who create these policies. Then they destroy the states or the cities. Then they abandon them. They flee them. There's mass exodus. Then they come to places like Florida, Texas, Arizona, Georgia, and then vote for the same kind of policies in the new place that they live in.
Okay, now, Senator Rich, SOSS.
Well, I'm not a senator anymore. I resign.
I know, but SOSS. Save our Sunshine State. What are you going to do in Florida to help end the exodus of businesses, not only from Florida, but from the USA? Maybe the SOSS movement could go across, the whole southern part of the USA. Maybe I'll have to have a Save Our Northern States movement or something. Something's got to be done. The people in Washington are allowed to do whatever they want because voters in the states and cities they represent mainly do nothing to tell them what's on their mind. When I'm listening to a lot of this stuff going on, and I listen to some of these political leaders on their 5-minute audio engineer stuff type, they're quickly, hurry up, and the engineer sometimes has to take out breaths when they took that all out. It's a 5-minute of nothing, zero. Nothing was said. Nothing was committed. It's just so that they could say, I appeared on such and such a show and, I explained myself. It's a waste of our time. How did that allow to get continuing and continuing for 35 years? People tell me all the time, Michael, 25 years ago, I didn't have to look at the items when I went to the store. 90% of them were made here in the United States of America. Why didn't the people in Washington protect our best interest? Protect our best interest. Why is it that people in the United States have been driven to long-term poverty, not short-term problems, unemployment, maybe on poverty for a year, long-term, lifelong poverty, because jobs are not there that they could be trained for? And that they can be satisfied doing and walk away each week with a paycheck. That is where the problem is. They would like to see all little operations go out so that they can continue their socialistic goals everywhere in the USA. They want people like you and I and everybody else to get on the road, hit the road, go with the 70,000 people over to another country. They don't want us here because the few 535 people in Washington, D.C. that were elected to look out for our best interest get, as far as I'm concerned, a poor grade, very poor grade. Now, Rich, I've asked Larkin, and I want to know what you would do if you were there in the Senate and before you resigned, you were there and somebody presented that bill to you for the $1.9 trillion. What would you want to know that's in that bill?
I'd tell them to send it back to Pelosi and Schumer. And I would then say, after I said I'm not signing it, I would then say, and maybe this is where me and Larkin have a slight disagreement, I would then say that everything that is happening now, everything, 100%, every nook and cranny was predicted. It was predicted and predictable. There is nothing, Michael, that Biden is doing, nothing that we didn't know would happen. Nothing.
Well, this is the same bill that was suggested back in October.
I'm talking about everything.
Yes. No,
I'm talking about everything, the executive orders, the nominees, the types of nominees. Okay? I was no big fan of our last attorney general under President Trump. I wasn't. But I know that we had an attorney general hearing yesterday where an attorney general nominee was asked if people in the country illegally are committing crimes, and we didn't get an answer. I know that I've looked at nominees who are, and again, I'm no big fan of a lot of the cabinet selections of President Trump, just to be clear. I wasn't. I'm just looking around saying Keystone Pipeline got cut out. This bill, that executive order, this nominee, all of it was predicted and predictable, Michael. Nothing is happening right now. That's surprising. Nothing. That's what I would say after I told him send the bill back. I'm not signing it.
Now, vote, Rich.
Put a bill on my desk that is only COVID relief, and then you'll get a genuine look over from me. I'm not saying I'll sign it. I'm not guaranteeing I will, but I will genuinely have an open mind to consider it.
Well,
COVID only.
The thing that stirred everybody up here in our broadcast area is that it was announced that some of the funds that would be approved in this $1.9 trillion won't even get off the ground till 2024. I didn't understand that either. And that's when I said, wait a minute. Each one of these ideas, especially when they announced how much foreign aid is in there and all this and that, I said, every bill should stand on its own. And the reason they can't have a lot of bills stand on their own, they have to piggyback them with one another, is because the people would never vote for the stuff that's being piggybacked. Nobody is going to give trillions and trillions of dollars over the last 40 years to foreign countries. You know, billions add up to trillions. We can't be doing that. You look at our debt clock, it's enough to scare the hell out of you. That means our children and our grandchildren and their children and grandchildren are going to be paying for this. And that is why I tell people, don't hesitate to call your elected official and tell them, we'd like every piece of legislation to stand on its own. No need for you to piggyback this and piggyback that because it wouldn't get through any other way. Let's see what exactly would be needed to help the small businesses through the Paycheck Protection Program. How about the restaurants that were forced closed? Yes, do they need some help? Absolutely. Because, you know, when they get the help, they will revive and be able to come back to life and then be able to continue to pay those profit taxes, continue to pay the employees, the cooks, and everybody else. But ordering them shut down for 6, 7, 8 months at a time, it doesn't make anything better. And yes, it's true, we lost 500,000 people. But I think the number would have been the same. This is me, because I get around quite a bit. I think the number would have been the same because people are still out and about. They are protecting themselves. They're wearing the mask. They're doing the social distancing. I believe that many of the people who did pass had pre-existing conditions, and that's how a lot of this should have been presented to the people. Protection is everything, but not destruction of the businesses by forcing them to close. And there was no, like, we'll close for 2 weeks while we reassess the whole process. No, it was closed and then closed and then closed and another 8 weeks and another 10 weeks. And who could do that? Those are the people I agree should be helped through the COVID-19 bill. And probably that bill would go down to a third of its size. There's also something else that was announced this morning. $90 billion from the last two COVID bills is still unused. Have you heard that, Larkin?
Yes, I can't verify that number, but I know it's an extremely significant number that still sits in the Treasury that has not been drawn down for the purposes that it was designed. Listen. Where is this money coming from?
That's right.
Where is it coming from? It's coming from the Congress's ability to just print more money. And the more U.S. dollars that you print, the less value the dollar has. And you can print us into a level of debt, we're already in it, quite frankly, where there's just no way out. How do you get out of $27 trillion worth of debt? How do you get out of that? And then you want to add another $2.9 trillion on top of it that's going to things that have absolutely nothing to do with COVID and the issue at hand. They're all Democratic pork belly. The minimum wage, now listen, that's a full-time, 2-week, 8-hour-a-day discussion as to how to resolve the minimum wage and not allow that very minimum wage to create inflation in this country. But I don't know. So many people just think that, well, the money, they just have all this money in Washington, and they can just hand it out.
And they really don't understand, Larkin, the life of the day-to-day American. They have no idea.
Let somebody ask Congress, where are the funds coming from?
Right.
Where are you getting this money that you're pouring into the American economy? Where, you know, how do you expect a restaurant industry that has been crippled by this pandemic to face $15 an hour minimum wage? It makes
sense.
I'd like to make another comment.
Larkin, let me give you a good idea. Let me give you a small idea.
Larkin has another comment.
Yeah,
Larkin,
go ahead.
I just wanted to let you know that of all the small businesses that I've helped, of all the small businesses whose balance sheets and financial statements I've become aware of and read and helped them balance out, very few, if any, are paying the minimum wage. Nobody's paying minimum wage. If you want to start at a little ice cream store that just entered the state of Florida in St. Augustine from Minnesota, it's the best ice cream I've ever eaten in my life. I can't stay away from the place. My wife has told me I'm not allowed on US-1 unless Culver's is closed. Culver's, their starting wage is $12 an hour. They're not paying $7, but they're paying $12, which is very carefully been ciphered into their financial statements and has been calculated as to how to cover the biggest expense on any financial statement, the payroll. How do you cover that with an adequate amount of sales or an adequate amount of margin in the sales that you do create?
Right.
It's just crazy. They have no idea what they're doing. They honestly don't. I don't think, I know Nancy Pelosi doesn't have enough brain power to power a cap gun. I know she can't possibly be thinking this is correct. She can't possibly. And, you know, we talked about all the stuff that that comes into me as we're on the radio. Let's see if I can find a comment. This comment coming from a strong progressive liberal says, stop obsessing about the pipeline. It's done.
Well, I don't understand that line. It's done. That was done by an executive order. The people of America have to speak up. As I said earlier, in Pennsylvania alone, the fuel went up in the last 30 days, 50 cents per gallon. What that means And when it comes time to payroll day and to fill up the gallon, to fill up the tank per gallon, it's 50 cents more per gallon. And that is the problem. People said to me, if I have to pay a minimum wage of this amount, that means I'm going to have to drop my staff to four people, and four people have to do the job of six people, and that's it. And so this is going to turn very, very ugly. And by the way, I want to talk about something very important next week. We can't give industries the benefit of the doubt that moved out of the United States of America. We can't reward them anymore for this kind of stuff. I was pleased that President Biden said he was not going to lift the tariffs on things from China. A lot of the stuff I'm talking about in the store I was just on Sunday were made foreign, and they couldn't get enough stuff here soon enough to get the people supplied. So I went over to the guy in the store and I said, by the way, how much of this stuff is made in Texas or whatever, American made? And he said, oh, no, we weren't waiting for them. We were waiting for the Chinese and all the other countries because they had a slowdown in their shipments to the USA. So we can't reward these businesses anymore. I want to see, quite frankly, what's in that bill, and let's talk about it more. And ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear by the music, it's time to say goodbye for today. We're going to do this again. I think we may have to have Senator Connolly, Senator Rich Loges, and Senator Mark next to give us ideas of what they would do to bring those 70 million businesses back to the USA. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11 here on 860, I want to wish you the very best. And if you have some statements to say or share with me, send them to michael@americanworkersradio.com. Until then, till we meet again, God bless and stay well.